Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here, but much more importantly, Tamara Hayden, a very talented lady, singer, songwriter, performer. Tamara, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, listen, congratulations on creating a bunch of wonderful music. And, you know, let's do a little bit of your history, if you don't mind, and let's get people kind of up to date as we go along. But let's start with your history. Where were you born and where were you raised?
I was born in Littleton, Colorado, and lived there up until, you know, up through college. And I went to college at UNC in Northern Colorado. And then I started my acting career in Denver. Like, I did the Denver Center and Country Dinner Playhouse when it was there. And then got to go to Broadway pretty early on. And that was exciting.
Well,
doing Les Miserables.
Let me ask you about that in a second. But Littleton, that's the famous Littleton, right? That's is that where the troubles began?
Yes, Columbine. Yes, infamous, which is crazy because it's such a nice little area. It's very quiet, and it was surprising. It's not a troubled area in that respect. So, you know, it can happen anywhere.
I think that's what made it such a national story is that you would never think it wasn't a high crime area. It wasn't what it's
absolutely
just a meltdown and a horrible tragedy for an area. But did you go to Columbine High School?
I did not, but my house is like maybe 5 miles where I grew up. It's 5 miles from there, and so I was actually doing a show in Washington D.C. at the Ford Theater. And someone, you know, we're standing at places getting ready to go on stage, and someone said, "Did you hear what happened at Columbine High School?" And I was like, "What?" And they didn't get to tell me till I got off stage, and I was like, what? And I realized my nieces and nephews went to a school nearby, and I was just like, "What's going?" They had friends who had been part of that. So,
horrible.
Yeah, it was just a terrible tragedy, and you just think, you know, you watch for the signs, and now, of course, it's happening far too much, and you know, what do you do?
Yeah, of course. Well, I didn't mean to cut you off once again, but
that's okay.
But
that's okay.
Either Trey Parker or Matt Stone, did one of them go to Littleton? Were they, you know, the South Park guys and the Book of Mormon folks? Were they from your neck of the woods?
You know what? I don't know, actually.
Yeah, it just sounds
so
familiar.
I can't answer this.
Littleton.
I don't know. Wouldn't surprise me.
Yo, Littleton is ringing a bell for some reason. But all right, so listen, I sidetracked you here. All right, so you grew up around there, and you end up in New York, and Man of La Mancha is what first big break. Is that proper to call it that?
Well, my first big break was Les Miserables. Actually,
oh right,
I did Les Miserables. I played Cosette, and I toured with it a bit, and then ended up on Broadway, which was a big dream I had. You know, so it was pretty interesting to be able to pinch myself and say, "Oh my God, I'm actually doing Cosette on Broadway," when that was the specific dream I had. Growing up, and I got to play it opposite wonderful, wonderful people. I even played opposite Ricky Martin. I got to kiss him every night for 3 months, which wasn't so bad, you know.
Yeah, a lot of women would change. I think they'd pay you to take your spot for that.
And he was such a dear, dear man. You know, wonderful to play opposite. So that was lucky. You don't always know what you're going to get. And right now, I'm currently working on Man of La Mancha opposite Robert Newman, and he's just wonderful. He was in Guiding Light back in the day, and he's just lovely to work opposite of. Again, you know, I'm sure there's a bunch of women, some of my friends going, "Oh my God." And, you know, it's just, I guess I'm getting to play opposite some really wonderful people. I got to play opposite Theodore McHale in Fiddler on the Roof in the touring company. And again, a wonderful man to play opposite. His background is in the folk tradition, and gosh, I learned so much from him. So I feel very fortunate.
Well, what happens, and before I even ask you that, let me remind folks, if they're just turning on their radio or if they're just tuning into us, Tamara Hayden is our very special guest, and she is a wonderful, just a wonderful Broadway performer, singer, songwriter, and she is she's fantastic at everything she does. It's always nice to talk to someone who does one thing well, but someone who does many things well. It's thrilling. But
Let's
jump back, if you don't mind, to Les Mis. So you end up playing Cosette on Les Mis on Broadway. What happens back home when that happens? Do they understand how huge that is? I mean, I'm sure some people, obviously, you know, your theater friends. But tell me what happens back home.
Oh, yeah. I feel like the theater community back at home and where I went to college, I think there's a great sense of pride. And there's been a handful of other performers who've made it to Broadway from the Littleton and Denver area. And there's so much pride, you know, so much love and community that I just feel such support from there. And it's a wonderful feeling to kind of be like, they're one of their stars that made it. It's just like for regular people. I love what I do. I love to sing, and I happen to get to do it. But I also work very hard. It's something I feel very passionate about, is using my music and using my performances on the stage as a cathartic release for other people who don't do it. And that's probably what I feel like my life force is about, you know.
What did your folks do for a living?
Well, my dad worked for Martin Marietta. He was in the space industry. Basically, he worked on the project that went to Mars. Worked on the arm that
Mars rover.
Tested the arm. Yeah, and the one that picked up the soil on Mars. And he worked on that for many years, and he just passed away in January. So
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm
so flying around Mars now.
Right.
Yeah, thank you. And my mom was she worked for the school district. She was a secretary, and she's retired now. And so it's funny because when I first started doing concerts and doing big shows, my mom was like, where did you come from? So, she grew up on a farm, and my dad was the son of a minister, a Methodist minister, circuit rider, you know. They really didn't know how to do anything for me. They're like, oh, my goodness.
Was it exciting for them, scary for them, or a combination of the two?
I think it was exciting. I think my dad was really excited when I got Les Mis because, you know, it paid so well.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, look at my daughter has this amazing job.
Yeah. Well, at that point, it's no longer scary. That's like, well, she made it. She's Les Mis. I'm saying before that, I mean, there must have been a time period where you weren't convinced of success, or did it even creep in? Did they just
exactly? Well, yeah, just growing up. I think, you know, early on when I remember when I was like 5, 6, 7 years old, my mom used to play this game. When people would come to their house, she'd say, oh, look at this. And she'd play a note on the piano and tell them what note it is. And I thought I was cheating because I knew what note it was. I was like, Mom, that's a dumb game. Don't make me play that.
Yeah.
But so they must have seen a little something there. You know, I started on accordion, playing accordion as a 5-year-old, and then I wanted a guitar, and they were always very supportive. So I remember my mom bought my first guitar from the janitor at the school.
Mm.
I mean, you know, and my grandmother, my dad's mother, was a singer and played piano and marimba, and she would sit us down and play concerts. So I think that's where the love of the music came for me. I just wanted to be surrounded by it.
Well, if you think about it, the note game, the piano note game, that's a big early indicator that your mom got it, right? Your mom
understood. Yeah, that she could tell. Yeah, like, look at this.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
But I don't think they understood exactly what to do with me or do with it, you know. It's like, I don't think they were thinking, oh, there's a career in music, but just to, that I have a proclivity for it, you know. So they were always supportive. So that's the wonderful thing. The only thing is when I was in college and I started, you know, winning some competitions for vocal performance and, you know, opera arias and stuff, my dad was like, oh, please don't go into opera. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, was it something? Well, let me remind people once again, for those just joining us a little late, Tamara Hayden is our very special guest. Frank McKay here, but much more importantly, a wonderful singer, performer, Broadway star, Tamara Hayden, and she is currently in Man of La Mancha, and her first big break was a real big one, playing Les Mis on Cosette and Les Mis on Broadway, and she's from Littleton, Colorado, a wonderful, wonderful town, and it's exciting to have somebody who's very, very talented here. Did you like opera? Is it something that you may have liked because you were good at it, or was it it wasn't a big lift to give up opera for your dad?
Well, it's funny because I really loved the challenge of it. I loved singing opera. In fact, I love singing arias still. But it wasn't too hard to say, okay, never mind, because I also felt that it was something that sort of distanced me from the crowd. There's something that's sort of grand about opera that makes you feel at arm's length. And I'm a touchy-feely person. So I felt that musical theater lended itself to what I wanted to do with my life. So and he liked that. So I felt it was an okay trade-off for me.
You know, not to focus too much on this, but why accordion at first? I mean, was it just available? Was it?
It was because an accordion salesman came to our door. Can you imagine?
Oh my gosh, they have accordion door-to-door salesman in Littleton, Colorado.
But the thing is, yeah. I mean, this was back in the day, and my mom became friends with this the woman who became my teacher, and it turned out my teacher, Pam Harkin, won second place in the world championship in 1969. So she was this incredible musician, and she got my natural talent. She got what I could do. I was playing things on the accordion by ear and not looking at my hands, and people, you know, they're like, oh. So there was a natural ability there, and she really, I think, was a very good mentor to start with, even though it's a strange instrument.
Well, yeah,
right?
I don't know. I mean, look, it doesn't matter how it got started. It got started. And it
right.
ended in, not ended, but I mean, it ultimately got to great success. So, I mean, I would have a fondness and affection for the accordion, just because it was a means to an end. It wasn't the...
Well, and the wonderful thing about the accordion is you've got the left hand is all the bass notes, and it teaches you the circle of fifths, which is like you have to know the circle of fifths to understand music. And so I had this real deep grounding of theory before I even got to college. And that first year, a lot of kids were dropping by the wayside when we got heavy into theory. And at the University of Northern Colorado, they have one of the top theory teachers, Evan Copley. I don't believe he's around anymore, but he wrote the book, and I had him as a teacher, and boy, I loved it. I became a big theory geek. I loved it. I still love it.
I mean, you took on some heavy... You took on some, heavy professional work. Broadway's tough, and I mean, it is tough. And you know how tough it is. But I mean, to anybody listening out there, rock is fun, and I'm not saying I know there's hardworking rock musicians, and certainly jazz is so well respected. But Broadway is constant. It's that's life. It's not like, well, I'm going to do some Broadway and I'm going to do this. It's kind of like Broadway is it. I mean, Is that accurate? Yeah. Am I portraying it correctly?
Yeah, it's very tough to get on Broadway. I feel like I lucked out. You know, you've got to have the ability first, of course, but then you have to have a lot of luck and timing. I mean, I almost didn't get cast on Broadway. That's the thing, is I had toured with Cosette for about 2.5 years. And, you know, Richard J. Alexander, who was the executive producer at the time, was like, okay, we want to bring you to Broadway. But then, ultimately, when the role opened up, they were going to move up the understudy. And that's, you know, that's much easier on them. And I think the understudy turned it down over, like, a $25 raise, which was crazy, you know. So she just was like, no, I don't want to do it, so forget it. And so then they called me and said, are you even interested in this? And I'm like, what? Of course. Hello. So I came down. They wanted to look at me to make sure I still, you know, hadn't gained weight or whatever. And so I wore a little cute little number and showed up. And they're like, oh, of course. Yeah, you look great. You're it. I was like, oh, and by the way, how are you singing? And I said, better than ever. And he said, oh, good. I mean, can you imagine that they take your word for it? But yeah.
It's just, I'm going back to the phone call. I mean, does it come from your agent? Does it go directly to you? I mean, what happens? I mean, where are you when that you get that phone call?
On this one, it was directly to me because I had just signed with an agent. I mean, I was newly back to New York. I had been on the tour, and I jumped off the tour to move to New York. And I'd been in New York, gosh, I'm trying to think, not quite a year. No, I'd been about, anyway, it was around 9 months or something like that. And so I had signed with the New York, with a new agent, but they didn't get the call. They called me directly. And then, of course, then my agent negotiated for me.
I mean, what a dream for that agent. You know, it's like, almost taking, like the rooster taking credit for the sunrise, you know, with that. But
that's
not the case.
Yeah,
still got to negotiate it.
Right, exactly. But that's kind of how the business works. Yes, an agent can sometimes get you the job, but, you know, they're working for 10%, so they're doing 10% of the job. And if I can say this to anyone who's listening who wants to be an actor, is you do 90%. You need, or 110.
Yeah.
You have to do it. You have to shake the bushes. You have to get out. And then your agent can then help support you. They can't do all the heavy lifting, you know. So... That's just the reality.
It's such a healthy attitude. I get why you made it. And if you're just tuning in, once again, Tamara Hayden is our very special guest. Just a wonderful performer and singer and Broadway performer. Frank McKay here, but more importantly, Tamara Hayden is our very special guest. And she is currently, let's talk about this a little bit, right? Man of La Mancha. And you're in, a little ways outside of New York City. But tell us about this show.
Yeah, just 90 minutes outside of Broadway is a town called Bristol, Pennsylvania. And they have a wonderful gem of a theater here right on the river. And it's just, they do really great work. I'm doing Man of La Mancha with Robert Newman, who is from Guiding Light. He plays Don Quixote. Danny Rutiliano is Sancho, hilarious and endearing Sancho. And I'm playing Aldonza. And it's a role I right out of college, I was cast as Aldonza. It was one of those things that I went in for Antonia, which because that's really what I was right for. And I got the call back, and my mom said, you've been called back for Aldonza. And I was like, no, that's the wrong role. I thought my mom made a mistake. She goes, I don't know this show. So anyway, I'm getting another chance to go at the role now after living some life. And I'm loving the concept that Keith Baker, the director, has led us with. He's we're going with a very post-traumatic stress disorder version of Man of La Mancha. Yeah, but it's heart-wrenching, but it's gorgeous. The set is gorgeous. enjoyable.
Well, let's talk about that. You're playing a role now as a more experienced performer. Is that the first time you played the same role with this gap of experience between you?
I would say this is the first time because, you know, early on I thought, oh, I don't ever want to repeat roles. I want to do everything. I just wanted to. But now I'm like, this is such a great role and very near and dear to my heart. I feel like I represent the misunderstood, mistreated, the lowest of the low on this earth. And I go through such a horrendous thing in the show, but then ultimately am pulled up and gather myself up to understand the story that Don Quixote is bringing, or Cervantes has brought forward, that we need to follow our dreams and that it doesn't matter whether we win or lose if we just follow our dream. And it's just, I start the show basically prostrate under rags, and at the end, I'm the only one standing, you know.
Wow.
Not afraid of the Inquisition, just saying, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It's such a great story, and you seem like the perfect person to do that. Coming from where you are, starting with the accordion. Oh. And listen, what a career, and it's still going very strong. Tamara Hayden has been our very special guest. Can you give us a website or a social media site where people can kind of follow along with what you do?
Well, I have a website. My website is tamarahayden.com, TamarahayDen.com.
Oh, listen, again, congratulations on all the success. And one last plug for Man of La Mancha. Where and when?
It's at the Bristol Riverside Theater in Bristol, Pennsylvania. And we just opened last night and had a great show. And we run until June 5th. And so if you're in the area, the tickets are going quick, but there's still some to be had.
Very, very, very perfect show for you, and following the dreams. You're living every young girl who's singing on stage in high school, or junior high school, your college. You're living that dream, and just again, congratulations. Just wonderful work, and hopefully we can get you back for a part two, part three, and talk about some of your other work that you do on the outside.
That'd be wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, thank you, and I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Tamara Hayden has been our very special guest, singer, performer, Broadway star, Tamara Hayden. We will see you next time on Breaking It Down. This is Frank McKay.